and he'll make them whole. That's what Yahweh Shalom will do. He will give you that wholeness. He will give you that completeness. And as we think about Yahweh Shalom and continue to look at this definition that God is the one who makes us complete and whole, and that where the Lord is, that where Yahweh Shalom is, there is peace.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We want to thank you for joining us today for the first half of Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Before we begin today's message, we've been letting you know about a class that the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies is offering. It will run from April the 7th to May 12th. It will take place on Thursday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m. It is a Zoom class and is dealing with apologetics. What is happening to the Christian faith? The Bible and the Christian faith are continually under attack. This class will help those interested in growing in their knowledge and their ability to be able to stand against these attacks that will help them to have an answer for the reason of the hope that is within us. Again, that's apologetics. It will begin April 7th, Thursday evenings, 7 to 9 p.m. on Zoom. Contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus Radio Ministry, and we will tell you how to get registered for the class. Now join us for the first half of Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is our peace.
Me? You know, are you talking to me? You know, as a matter of fact, some people believe that Gideon was actually hiding out from the Midianites, that he was so afraid of the Midianites that he was hiding from them. And that the angel of the Lord, when he came, that Gideon was shocked and surprised the fact that he came. And so Gideon, which he seems to be in the habit of doing, asked the angel of the Lord for a sign. He said, if I'm supposed to be the one that's going to deliver the Israelites from the hand of the Midianites, then I need a sign. And the angel of the Lord said, I'll show you a sign. And so Gideon goes, and he said, wait right here, I'll be back. Hold on a minute, right? So Gideon goes, and he gets some meat and some bread and some oil. And he kind of puts it together and then lays it. I don't know if he laid it on the ground or an altar, but he got it together. And so he's looking for a sign that the angel of the Lord actually has a message from God for him. And so he puts these things in a pile, and then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord uses an instrument to touch these things, and fire comes up out of them and consumes them. It burns up the bread, it burns up the meat, it burns up the oil, totally consumes them. And then Gideon realizes, hey, I'm in trouble here because I've seen the Lord. And so Gideon actually thought he was going to die. Look at Judges chapter 6 and verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And we know from reading back in the law that when people saw the Lord face to face, that they would die. And so Gideon thinks that he's going to die. But the angel of the Lord, or the Lord, assures him in verse 23 that he wasn't going to die. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. So God lets him know that he was not going to die. And Gideon is so grateful because he's seeing turmoil all around him. He's seeing his kinsmen being persecuted by the Midianites. He sees this devastation happening. He realizes that Israel, the first R, that they rebelled, and now they were dealing with the second R, which is retribution. And he sees this retribution taking place. All type of turmoil going on. And so Gideon constructs an altar. And in verse 24, it says, "Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezerites." Gideon builds an altar and he calls it Yahweh Shalom. That in the midst of troubling times, he had come face to face with the God of peace. He had come into communication with the God of peace. What does the name Yahweh Shalom mean? The word Shalom, which we know is a word, Hebrew word for peace, but actually it means completeness or wholeness. That's the idea of Shalom, completeness or wholeness. Now watch this, and this will help you understand how powerful Yahweh Shalom is. Look, when somebody is sick, they're broken, they're not whole. When you end up in a bad relationship or a relationship that breaks up, you're not whole, you're not complete. When you are dealing with maybe a financial problem, you are not whole, you are not complete. When you're dealing with some emotional issues, some anger, some anxiety, some bitterness, some unforgiveness, you're not whole. What does Shalom mean? It means wholeness or completeness. So what does Shalom do? In the midst of your brokenness, in the midst of the devastation that's happening in your life, Shalom comes in and gives you a sense of wholeness. Shalom comes in and gives you a sense of peace. That when I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, that Shalom comes in. And even though I might not have the answer about how I'm going to pay, Shalom comes in and makes me whole. It gives me a completeness. It lets me know that, hey, God got this. That Yahweh Shalom, that he has this. And everything is going to be all right. The idea of Shalom, wholeness or completeness, that when you are broken, I like that song, The Potter's House. Those who are weary, come on down to the Potter's House. Those who are broken, come on down to the Potter's House. If you have needs, if you're in trouble, come on down to the Potter's House. That you are broken, he'll take the pieces of your broken life and he'll make them whole. That's what Yahweh Shalom will do. He will give you that wholeness. He will give you that completeness. And as we think about Yahweh Shalom and continue to look at this definition, that God is the one who makes us complete and whole, and that where the Lord is, that where Yahweh Shalom is, there is peace. Now, the world tries to seek this wholeness. The world tries to seek this peace, but they are not going to find it. Let me share with you three ways that the world tries to seek this wholeness or this completeness. That when they get broken, right? That when something happens, what do they try to do? They try to change the circumstances. Some people figure if they got enough money that maybe they can buy their way out of it. Some people feel that if they just try a little harder doing something, that their circumstances might change. So the world tries to change the situation. Other people in the world, they try to run away from the circumstances. They try to medicate. They try to use substances or other things to try to deal with the situation so they can get peace. You know that some people, that's what they do. That they are dealing with situations, and so they go to the bottle, they go to the joint, and I'm not talking about the joint, the building. I'm not talking about the joint between your arm and your lower arm and your upper arm, right? I'm talking about the marijuana, right? And what are they trying to do? They're trying to run away to find peace. They're trying to find peace in those things. And then, you know, some people in the world, they even try to blame other people for their circumstances, trying to find peace, that if I can cast it off on somebody else, then maybe I won't feel as bad. Maybe I might sense some relief. Maybe I might feel some peace if I can blame it on somebody else. But according to the Bible, the world cannot know true peace. That people of the world cannot know true peace. Isaiah 48 and verse 22 and 51 and verse 27. The wicked are not at peace. The wicked are not at peace. And maybe the reason that they do some of the things that they do is because there is an uneasiness in their heart. There's an uneasiness in their spirit. Why is it that some people commit acts of wickedness? It's because they're not at peace. And the Bible says the wicked are not at peace. The unsaved are not at peace. In Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, it lets us know that if you don't know the Lord, that you can't have peace. That you can't obtain this wholeness. You can't obtain this completeness that we're talking about because you are unsaved. And then in Romans 8, 6, it lets us know that the carnal or worldly minded are not at peace. They're struggling. They feel like always looking over their shoulder, right? Somebody feel like somebody's behind them. Feel like, you know, that there's always something waiting around the corner for them because things are not right in their life. They don't have the wholeness. They don't have the completeness. And so they're always on edge. They always feel uneasy, and they don't have the peace. The only way that you can know this peace that I'm talking about is if you know Yahweh Shalom. And he can fix the broken pieces of your life. He can take the fragments of your broken life and bring them back together again. If you know Yahweh Shalom, the God of peace, that he steps into your life and that by his very presence, he brings peace to the situation. The Lord is like the conductor of a symphony. I heard Tony Evans give this illustration. He said that before the conductor comes in, you got people blowing the horns, tuning up, right? People hitting the drums, tuning up, other instruments tuning up. And let's be honest, what is that? That's just a bunch of noise, right? It's just a bunch of noise. Right? Boom, 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 you know, and you hear that noise. People sitting there, they sit there, they hear that noise. It's a aggravating noise. It's a broken noise. It's a noise that's arbitrary, right? Oh, but when the conductor comes and the conductor stands before the orchestra, and he takes his baton, he or she, as they take their baton, and as they begin to conduct and direct all those different sounds, all those blurted out sounds, they all come together into a beautiful symphony of music. And that's the way that it is with the Lord. That when our lives are tuning up, right? And we have all these issues going on. And then Yahweh Shalom steps into that situation, and that his presence there brings everything together and gives us that peace that passes all understanding. He's the conductor that stands in front of the symphony of your problems. You might be, you know, they got 300-piece symphony, right? 200-piece symphony, 100-piece symphony. And you might have 100-piece problems. you might have 200-piece problems. But when Yahweh Shalom comes, he brings peace to that situation. He makes beautiful music and causes your spirit to be calm and causes you to know that everything is going to be all right. As I continue this message, I want to share with you four things, and then I'll take my seat. When Yahweh Shalom is present, and we have the slide up there that you can look at. When Yahweh Shalom is present, that there's a completeness, that there's a wholeness. And so in this chart that I have put together, on the left side is the absence of the Lord. And when the Lord is absent, there is an incompleteness. There's an idea that you're not whole. But on the right-hand side of the chart, when the Lord is present, there is a completeness, or there is a wholeness. Just look at Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Or excuse me, not 146, Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Verses 1 through 5. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Now, when you read these verses, there's some devastating things going on here. And some have likened them to natural disasters. It says, though the earth be removed. And they said that that's talking about earthquakes. It said, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Somebody said that's talking about volcanoes. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Somebody said that's talking about tsunamis. And the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Somebody said that's talking about hurricanes. So you got all these natural disasters going on. And it may be this is the testimony of your life. There's earthquakes going on in your life. There's volcanoes going on in your life. There's tsunamis going on in your life. There's hurricanes going on in your life. All these problems that you're dealing with. But look at verse 4. It said, in the midst of all these earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis, hurricanes, that there is a river, the streams whereof that make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Look at this. Look at this. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. That with all this devastation, these natural disasters going on, that this river is unmoved, that this river, there's not even a ripple in this river. And why is that? Because God is in the midst of her. My friend, when you have Yahweh Shalom in your life, though you may have hurricanes, tsunamis, earthquakes, tornadoes, whatever the case might be, you might have all these things going on, but when Yahweh Shalom is present in your life, he steps into the river. He steps into the river of your soul, in everything is calm. He brings a peace that passes all understanding. On the left side, when the Lord is absent, there is unrighteousness. On the right side, when the Lord is present, there is righteousness. Psalm 37, in verse 37, it says this, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." That when God is present, there's righteousness in your life and you have peace because you know that you've done the right thing. People that break the law, people that are unrighteous, as I said earlier, they're always looking over their shoulder. Why? You know, just think, I'm not going to get into my testimony, but just think about somebody that's selling drugs on the corner, right? For the most part, you can't stand out there and be at peace. You're always doing what? Looking over your shoulder. You're always looking to see, is there somebody coming to rip me off? Are the police going to come and bust me? And so there's an uneasiness. There's not a peace. But when God is present in your life, whoo, when God is present in your life and you're trying to do the right thing, you have a peace. And this peace involves having the righteousness that the Lord brings. On the left-hand side of the ledger, you have division and strife. But on the right hand, you have harmony. You ever see a home where there's always a bunch of fussing and arguing and strife and division? I think I can honestly say this, you know, that the presence of God is not there. Now, we know that God is omnipresent. We know that he's everywhere. But, you know, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And so if there's a bunch of division and argumentation and strife, you know, you need to invite the Lord into your home, right? Because when Yahweh Shalom comes into the home and people acknowledge Yahweh Shalom in the home, there's a peace. There's a harmony that takes place when the presence of the Lord. Man, there's just such a peaceful spirit in your home. I don't know about you, but I love a home with a peaceful spirit. Well, that don't mean that we might have a disagreement from time to time, but when we are allowing Yahweh Shalom to reside in our home, that there's a peace that rests on our home. I love Psalm 133. In Psalm 133, it talks about the blessing of unity. And I'm going to read this psalm, and I could preach a whole message. I could preach three or four messages on Psalm 133. But I just want to point something out, because this absolutely blows my mind. This blows my mind. Psalm 133. "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went to the skirts of his garments." Unity, harmony, like the dew of Hermon and like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Oh, I wish I had time to unpack that. I wish I had time to get into that, but I don't today. This is the punchline. This is what I wanted to get to. Look what it says here. Where there's unity, the end of verse 3. "There the Lord commands his blessings, even life forevermore." Where does God command his blessings? God commands his blessings to places where...
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Yahweh Shalom, "The Lord is our peace." If you would like to request the audio copy of today's message, Yahweh Shalom, "The Lord is our peace," you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Shalom, The Lord is our peace. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, where you can view or download more than 400 resources. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.